you know, it can be a little bit polarizing. You know, we've got, you know, some consumers that are wanting to taste Strange Nature for the first time, and, you know, we talk about Sauvignon Blanc. Like, no, that's not for me. I don't drink Sauvignon Blanc. It's not my go-to variety. And we kind of need to take them back a little bit and say, well, hey, look, it's the spirit that's derived from Sauvignon Blanc.
This is Over a Glass. I'm Shantae Whale.
Kia ora. Rhys Julien is the general manager of Strange Nature Distilling, based in New Zealand. Their signature gin is rewired in wonderful ways. Today, Rhys joins me to uncover if Strange Nature is in fact by name, nature, or flavour. Hi, Rhys. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Shantae. Thank you so much for having me on.
It's really exciting to have you on the podcast. I am a big gin fan, like a lot of people out there, and I was so curious when I heard about your product kind of come to market a couple of years ago. But I first want to hear a little bit about yourself. How did you kind of find your way into the career path that you have?
Yeah, it was probably more good chance than anything. I actually have a background in nursing. I completed a nursing degree here in Christchurch, New Zealand, some 20 years ago. And at the time, I was doing some part-time merchandising with Coca-Cola, essentially a human forklift moving cases of soft drink around supermarkets. And then, like with any big corporate, you know, you're doing an okay job, and you seek a promotion, and before you know it, I'm selling Coca-Cola. You know, it was a tough entry into FMCG and brands. They definitely get their pound of flesh, and I think after 6 years at Coca-Cola, I was ready to do anything. After that, I then moved into Beam Suntory, which is a really well-known global spirits brand. So yeah, my first sort of foray into brands was with two big global companies, and then took a step back and joined the well-known New Zealand family wine business, Geese & Wines, and had a go at export for them for a number of years. Moved away from beverages and into the New Zealand dairy industry. They sort of talk in New Zealand of, you know, with brands of, if you haven't exported dairy or wine, you know, you probably haven't really experienced exports, because they're our, you know, two major exports, of course. Wasn't for me. And more recently, lured back to the Strange Nature project that happened or started within Geese & Wines a few years ago.
Before we get to Strange Nature, what kind of, you know, when you grew up in your household, what was the kind of beverages drunk? Was it wine? Was your family like into spirits? I mean, are you a kind of spirit drinker?
Yeah. So growing up as a kid in New Zealand in the 1980s, it was interesting, and I hope Mum and Dad aren't listening to this. I'm unsure about Australian food culture back in the 80s, but New Zealand gets a, there's always quite a bit of teasing around what the 80s looked like, and it was about meat and three veg. So I grew up with overdone steak. And then Mum and Dad were drinking wine out of the wine bag and box. And in New Zealand in the 80s, it was a number of German varietals, so Müller-Thurgau, Riesling, and the like. Spirits were certainly there. Here in Christchurch, in my home city, it's the entry point for the US Antarctic expedition. So Jim Beam was actually introduced to Christchurch, if not New Zealand, in the 60s and 70s. So it was sort of German varietals of wine mixed with a bit of bourbon in those early days.
Mm. It's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, New Zealand's gone through an interesting history in terms of, you know, prohibition lasting for a while, and then the boom of, you know, of the wine world just absolutely exploding. So it's kind of, it's had real ups and downs in terms of of what the country has seen. And I mean, you talk about meat and three veg, but I can, you know, I know the feeling of an overdone steak, but I do feel like that's not the worst place in the world to start. You know, you can only go up with from there. But tell me a little bit about when Strange Nature kind of came about. I mean, that was only a couple of years ago. You're in kind of a strange time coming out of a pandemic. So what was the first thoughts? How did that little kind of light bulb go off?
Yeah, it was actually pre-pandemic. And, you know, the three Geeson brothers, they've got a reputation for being innovators. And they were going down the path of discovery of zero alcohol wine, and it was removing alcohol from their estate range of wines. And at that point, the winemakers had no use for the spirit that was being removed. It was surplus to requirement, discarded in most cases, until that was tasted and really put through its paces. And, you know, everyone in the room at that time was like, geez, we could actually turn this into something. Is it a grape spirit? Is it a sipping vodka? Hold on a second. The craft gin category is really blowing up both in New Zealand, Australia, and abroad. So at that point, we really went into R&D mode, trialled many different botanicals with that base spirit, and then sort of took time throughout COVID to really work out, you know, what we wanted to do with this, with the great base ingredient we had. We knew that we wanted to develop a craft gin, but we wanted to do it right with all parts of the business.
Yeah, fascinating kind of, I mean, it's kind of logical actually when you really think about it. But when I, you know, a few years ago thought about grape spirits, kind of Ciroc was kind of the only thing kind of that I would be able to, you know, pull out of my brain. But these days we are seeing so many different grape-based spirits. What was the flavor of that spirit once it was removed? Were you able to discern grape characteristics when you first tasted it?
Yeah. I mean, it's quintessentially Marlborough Sauvignon Blanc. I remember tasting it, the spirit, which comes out of the spinning cone technology at Geeson at around about 48, 49% ABV. And it almost messes with your mind because, you know, we're all used to drinking, say, Marlborough Sauvignon Blanc at 11 to 12% ABV. So here was the spirit version without the acidity, but still those dialed up, you know, citrus, tropical, herbaceous qualities. But then you had the higher alcohol, which gave it, you know, that mouthfeel and texture that you're used to when drinking quality spirits. And actually there's lots of bartenders around the world that are always quite intrigued by that base Sauvignon Blanc spirit. And, you know, from time to time we will, you know, bottle some of that up and give it to bartenders around the world just to do some to invent some cocktails and have some fun with. But yeah, it was a pretty special moment when we tasted that for the first time, for sure.
When I think of the being, you know, coming from a wine background, when I think about like the flavor profile of Sauvignon Blanc, it kind of really, you know, makes sense that it would have the great aromatics to carry something like juniper. Like I think of, you know, passion fruit and gooseberry and pineapple and beautiful tropical fruits, high acidity, and then think about that, combining that with something like a juniper base. It seems to make sense. What are the other botanicals that you're using, or other flavorings, I should say, that you're using in the gin?
Yeah. Firstly, it's an interesting grape varietal, isn't it, Sauvignon Blanc? And it's been barnstorming for the New Zealand wine industry and really turned it into the New Zealand industry into what it is today. We exhibit at a number of wine festivals, both New Zealand, Australia, and soon to be in the US. And we have to be a little bit careful leading with Sauvignon Blanc gin-based spirit, because, you know, it can be a little bit polarizing. You know, we've got, some consumers that are wanting to taste Strange Dates for the first time, and you know, we talk about Sauvignon Blanc, and like, no, that's not for me. I don't drink Sauvignon Blanc. It's not my go-to variety. And we kind of need to take them back a little bit and say, well, hey, look, it's a spirit that's derived from Sauvignon Blanc. I think with Sauvignon Blanc consumers, it's quite often that acidity, you know, the acidity, which can be a real turn off. But of course, that acidity doesn't follow its way through into Strange Nature itself. So you're right. It has really those powerful Sauvignon Blanc tropical citrus blackcurrant notes. You know, we trialed probably upwards of 12 different botanicals, but it was coming really confusing and complicated on the palate. So we settled on just one, you know, and it's juniper. And, you know, for anyone to produce a juniper, it needs to have that base botanical. And then, you know, what concentration of juniper do we use? And it's really just a subtle amount, which gives it a nice kind of additional layer. You know, it's almost a savory, piney freshness that it brings. And yeah, really surprised that works well with those quintessential Sauvignon Blanc flavors.
And in terms of, you know, having a great product and then going out to the market, it's in a gorgeous looking bottle. I mean, it really attracts your eye straight away. What was the process of deciding how to package it up and how to go to market with it?
Yeah, so pre-pandemic, we knew we had a pretty special flavour. And across the ownership group, there's lots of experience with, you know, building brands from scratch or working with, you know, global brands. And we're all on the same page that we wanted to do it 100% right. And, you know, it started with, you know, what's our brand story? You know, what's our brand architecture? You know, the bottle itself was probably about 18 months in the making. When you've got multiple owners, everyone has a view. So all jumping on the same page definitely took some time. And it's one of those things as well, you know, I think digitally, you know, we thought we were onto something great in terms of what the bottle looks like, but it wasn't until we got our first physical sample from our supplier, we're like, geez, actually, all these elements work really well. And, you know, in both, you know, wines and spirits over the years, it's been tough at times when you've had, you know, got such great liquid in the bottle, but you're not there at point of purchase to tell consumers that. So, you know, consumers are making so much of their decision-making off what packaging looks like. So we just wanted to have something that really does jump off the shelf. And I think Strange Nature does that very well. Actually, if we look across all elements of Strange Nature, it really is the bottle that's making a huge difference for us in sales right now. You know, it piques interest and curiosity of the consumer at that point of purchase.
And in terms of, the fact that you're working with Giessen, who are, like we said, total innovators, very conscious of their kind of their approach to sustainability and their carbon footprint. What's the go with the recycling program that you're offering?
Yeah, so Strange Nature is a standalone business, but with common owners. The Giessen brothers are involved in both, albeit almost letting myself, you know, take this, take the brand and see what I can do with it. We have the quarterly meetings just to check in. You know, the great thing about having, you know, the guy, you know, the three Giessen brothers, that you've got the access to their vineyards. You've got access to, you know, barrels as an example. We launched a second product, which is a barrel aged Strange Nature gin, and all their winemaker know-how, you know, such as Duncan Schuller, their chief winemaker. So when it comes to sustainability, we've got the byproduct that we use that comes off the production of Giessen Sauvignon Blanc. You know, that was being discarded, so we're finding a use for that, which is fantastic. In terms of the traceability of Strange Nature back to the vineyard in Marlborough, that vineyard is part of the sustainable wine growing program that New Zealand does very, very well with. So the vineyard is sweated in terms of its impact on environment. And then to complement it here in the New Zealand market, we've started asking consumers and also recently the trade, the on-premise, to recycle the bottles. Our sales team pick up those bottles or consumers can send them back to our distillery. And we sterilise, freshen up, and then we resend back into back into the trade, which is working really well. But for us, it's you know we don't want there to be an element of greenwashing. Sustainability is really important to us. So we've just launched a sort of a 3 to 5 year sustainability strategy, which goes across both environment and social, our people and our community. So just having a bit of a depth in our story when it comes to sustainability is super super important to us also.
Oh, it's really good to hear. What I'd like to know in terms of like suggestive drinking, like what when you think, you know, there are a lot of gins, you talked about that, craft gin is amazing in both our countries. What makes this particular gin, you know, different when you're going to say this is great with these suggested perhaps preparations? What would be the go-to?
Are you talking in terms of, you know, what tonics or cocktails within?
Yeah. You know, like some gins perhaps, you know, ones that are really kind of heavily botanical gins, you know, perhaps they can handle something that's a tonic that's like a little bit bigger, richer in flavor. You know, some gins, you know, are really delicate and perhaps they don't need, they can have some of those lighter tonics or they can going to, you know, be prepared quite nicely like a Vesper in style. What if you were going to, you know, make a cocktail, how would you prepare it?
Yeah, so one thing that we probably learned from the wine industry is, you know, utilizing your winemaker and storytelling and getting them in front of the consumer and trade and everything in between. So what we do at Strange Nature, instead of that winemaker equation, we just have a very good mixologist. You know, we work with a local professional here in Christchurch who's got some global experience, worked at some, you know, great cocktail bars around the world. And we take it really seriously around what flavors work best in what drinks. So we actually take most of our direction from him. And so when it comes to your classic gin and tonic, it's always really tempting to want to work with some of these smaller tonic brands, because there's lots of tonic brands both in New Zealand and Australia that popped up. We're a small guy. We kind of want to work with the tonic small guys as well. But you just can't go past Fever Tree, and you know at the festivals that we do exhibit at, or even you know some of our tasting programs at Australian travel retailers in some of your airports, you know, consumers really do like Fever Tree. So we do work a little bit with some boutique tonics, but Fever Tree for most of our tastings of G&Ts, and it's Mediterranean tonic for us because with Strange Nature, we're grape based. You know we've got a little bit of herbaceous flavor coming through, and then that Mediterranean tonic, just the name of Mediterranean tonic, it talks to grape, it talks to those herbaceous qualities. So there's a really nice synergy there. The backbone of Strange Nature is definitely that citrus flavor. It's kaffir lime and grapefruit. You know, similarities to Sauvignon Blanc, of course. So any gin sour, Strange Nature works really well. It could be a Tom Collins, it could be a Clover Club. So when you're adding, say, some fresh lemon juice, some sugar syrup, just that flavor range complements really nicely. But if you just looked at your classic martini, there's enough juniper coming through to sort of bring that known juniper gin flavor. Probably the best type of martini that Strange Nature works really well in is actually a hot and dirty martini. So you've got the dirtiness from the olive brine, and then we actually add a jalapeno juice, which gives it a little bit of heat. So there's a couple of go-to cocktails for us at the moment.
Hot and dirty martini. I mean, yeah, I just would like to see the people's face when you order that in a restaurant. But I'd give it a go. I mean, I love jalapenos. I grow my own. I think they're delicious. I can see that that would work quite well. I want to know, when you first held, you know, once everything was done and you got that first bottle in your hand, what was that moment like when you held the product for the first time?
Yeah, it was a high five moment. You know, there was blood, sweat, and tears to get there. I consumed quite a few straight nature gin straight that night, and yeah, there was just a real anticipation to build something from nothing into something great, and it was really just as simple as that. You know, I've represented different brands over the years and different industries, and yeah, this just felt like everything was aligned, and just couldn't wait to get out there and start finding some homes and bring in some dollars to pay for all of those early startup costs. Five owners, we're all at different financial stages, we had to factor that in as well.
I can imagine, because there are so many working parts and it takes, you know, so long, and yeah, you're probably dreaming about it, thinking about it day in, day out, that the moment that you find, you know, have the product and you open it and you're like, just like writing a book, I imagine, you know, having it in your hands must be so exciting. When you're not drinking Strange Nature, is there another New Zealand spirit that you enjoy?
Yeah, that's a good question, because there's a lot. I thought there was quite a lot of New Zealand gins, but it wasn't until I crossed the Tasman and turned up to Australia. I was like, wow, okay, yeah, that's another level again. I mean, we're pretty new to the category here in New Zealand, and I really do like the idea of looking at what best in class looks like. And for my mind, you can't go past Scapegrace. Two young guys at the time, 10 years ago, they were just really ahead of their time, really. New Zealand's known for 42 Below. That would probably be our most successful spirit brand before that was sold to a pretty big company. And then the guys from Scapegrace, you know, they were sort of, they came after that. I really like what they've done with the Scapegrace Black, where they've used that really interesting pea extract, butterfly pea extract, which is, I think, a type of flower. And basically, you know, you've probably tried it, but you know, it's a black gin that turns transparent, almost like pinky, when you add ice and tonic to it.
I've seen the bottles, but I've never actually tried it. So I will put it on the list along with Strange Nature. I don't think there's ever too many gins that you can have in one household. So, and my husband would probably disagree with that, but I love having them all lined up and deciding on, you know, what I feel like on what particular day. I'd love to know a bit more about your palate as well, Rhys. If you only had three drinks that you could have for the rest of your life, what would they be and why?
Oh, gee, where do I start? I'm definitely all about the journey of an evening, and I'm not. My palate doesn't really support just staying on, say, some beer, wine, or spirits. You know, it's all three. are often there, without sounding like I'm an alcoholic. Obviously, everything in moderation for sure. I like the idea of actually starting off with tequila. A sipping tequila, nothing too much going on in terms of barrel age, just something really clean, clean and fresh. You know, there needs to be good levels of agave. So I like sipping on tequila. It's fun as well, right? And typically works well and just putting you in a good place. You know, it's kind of a good time drink. But, you know, in New Zealand it was all about shots of tequila, but you're seeing world over that's changing, and tequilas have been sipped for what they are and treasured as you drink them. I really like having a sipping chaser, which usually has a tomato juice and cracked pepper. I find that that tomato juice really neutralizes some of the heat with tequila. I would then, I've got to say this, I've moved into a Malbec Sauvignon Blanc, and I'm not exaggerating the points. Having worked at Geese & Wines for 7 years, I had a healthy diet of Malbec Sauvignon Blanc over the years. But yeah, I would. It would be sitting around a barrel aged Sauvignon Blanc for sure. You know, I like the idea of drinking something that is probably a little bit more versatile with food. So yeah, a barrel aged Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand. And then to finish off, yeah, it's a single malt whiskey, ideally from the Highlands in Scotland. I love that smoky element. Strange Nature now has a barrel aged gin as well, so might play between a Scotch whiskey and then a barrel aged gin.
I love it. I always learn something a little bit more about people's personality when you really push them up against the wall and ask them what their three drinks will be. When is the barrel-aged gin released?
Oh, so we released a limited edition in the New Zealand and Australia market back in September, so 3,000 units only. Pleased to say that sold out, which is fantastic. And then the long term of that, it's only available in travel retail. So in New Zealand and Australia airports, where Strange Nature has some nice positioning.
Okay, well, at least I know to look for it, even if it has sold out. Maybe the next time I travel to New Zealand, which hopefully isn't too far away, I will keep an eye out. It's been so lovely to get to know you, Rhys. The product is pretty damn cool, I have to say. I love the philosophy behind it. And it's been really fun learning a bit more about you. Your tagline is "Strange things come to those that seek them." And I'm going to quote Beetlejuice here because I myself am strange and unusual. So I think it's right up my alley. And I've loved chatting to you today. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Shantae. Thanks so much for the opportunity. You know, we're still small and keen to talk as much as we can about our gin and tell the story. So thanks so much for the opportunity.
You're so welcome. Cheers to you, Rhys.
Thank you.
This is Over a Glass. I'm Shantae Whale. Stay tuned for more stories from the world of wine and drinks. Listen in every Thursday on your podcast app. Follow us on Instagram at Over a Glass Pod and contact us at overaglass@deepintheweeds.com.au.